May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be ever acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
So when I discovered that I was preaching this Sunday, I felt both elated and disappointed. Elated because I knew that the gospel passage was the visitation, the encounter between Elizabeth and Mary, which I absolutely adore. It's one of the few passages in the Bible where the two key actors are both women, and not just any women, women who are pregnant. Elizabeth is pregnant with John the Baptist, and Mary is pregnant with Jesus. I also felt a bit disappointed, because as much as I love this passage, I would love to have just sat back and listened to someone else offer a sermon instead of offering myself, for three reasons. One, I had a very long night, which I'll explain in a little bit. Secondly, just where I am in my life right now, I would have loved to have someone else break open the word for me, just for my own spiritual well-being. But thirdly, and I think most importantly, I didn't really want to offer a sermon because, and I'm sure this is not a surprise to any of you, I'm not a woman. And I do not intimately know what it's like to be pregnant. I never will know what it's like to be pregnant. And for someone like me, a man, to stand up here and to preach a sermon on the experiences of these two women can be so fraught with danger. And to give you an example of what happens when a man gets a hold of this encounter, the visitation, and starts doing commentary on it, all you have to do is look at the words that have been put into Elizabeth's mouth. She says to Mary, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." I can guarantee you, Elizabeth did not say those words, because no woman talks like that. Not today, not 2,000 years ago. A man will talk like that. Especially a man who is a theologian would say something like, "Fruit of thy womb." Especially a man who is a theologian named Luke will talk like that. And I don't want to talk like that. I don't want to have to explain Luke. Bless his heart. He is trying his best as a man to explain something, to convey a certain theology about the visitation. But the way that he's going about it makes it a little bit unreal for me. That dialogue is a little otherworldly and rarefied. The reactions and interactions between Mary and Elizabeth are just so precious and perfect. And this encounter is beautiful, but it's not real. And there's something about the realness of Mary and Elizabeth as first century Galileans, as women who are pregnant, and especially as they're pregnant. There's something real about pregnancy that is important for us today to remember and to think about. I think it's important to look at pregnancy, and I realize I'm not the most qualified to preach on being pregnant. There are people in this room much more qualified than I, and I'm not just talking about our very qualified and talented rector, but looking out here, there are many people who know, really, what it's like to be pregnant. And you could offer a better sermon than I could, but with your grace and with your permission, I'm going to try to give some insight into this. So do I have your permission to talk to this? Elizabeth is pregnant. She's very pregnant. She's probably in her third trimester. And though I don't know what that's like, I've heard through the grapevine that when you are in your third trimester, it can be a little uncomfortable at times. You sort of get a lower back pain because your center of gravity has shifted and you're carrying your child a little in front of you and having to readjust all the time. It's difficult to get comfortable. It's difficult sometimes to get to sleep, especially if you're accustomed to sleeping on your chest. You have to sleep on your back or on your side, and you always have to readjust. Because of where the child is, the internal organs in your torso get pushed aside and back which puts pressure in places that you wouldn't expect, most notably on your bladder, which means you have to go to the bathroom more often. And when the baby kicks, sometimes it can hurt. Maybe the first time the child kicks, it's a joyous surprise. But if that is a very active child, it's going to get old fast, especially if they are leaping for joy. And it's funny, but, you know, when I read the Visitation passage now, I can't help but read it through a very realistic lens. I can imagine Elizabeth coming out of her house and seeing Mary coming down the road and hearing Mary's greeting, and Elizabeth saying, "Mary, it's so great to see you. Oh, I just got to back it and hold that thought because I need to go to the outhouse. I'm going to be back in about 3 minutes and then I can properly greet you." I think that's a more realistic course of events for the Visitation than what Luke writes. Apart from all of the kicking and the small bladder and the pain and the sleeplessness, there's a whole host of other occurrences that just make pregnancy uncomfortable. You have clothes that don't fit, you have hormones that are out of whack, you have food cravings that are weird, you have a husband who certainly can't empathize with you when he needs to. There's a whole host of things that make pregnancy uncomfortable. And that's important. It's important to remember because this season of Advent, is about being pregnant, and it's about discomfort. It's about being pregnant in that the entire world is pregnant with Christ. We are awaiting the second coming of Christ, and he's coming soon and very soon. It's about discomfort in that the world has been pregnant with Christ for some time. By some estimations, we're about 2 millennia past our due date. And it's also discomforting because when we look around, sometimes it's hard to see Christ. When we look at the world and when we look at ourselves, sometimes all we can see are the pain and the sufferings and the brokenness that we always sit with. You turn on the news, especially this month in December, you're seeing war and violence in Syria. You're seeing bigotry and fear-mongering in our politics. And you're seeing racism in America. And this on top of all the other evils that we deal with month in and month out. Homelessness and hunger and drug addiction. 2015 is ending up to be a really tough year for a lot of people. And it's painful as Christians to see this because our prayer, especially during Advent, is come, O come, Emmanuel. Come, God, with us. O Lord, come, Maranatha. This is our prayer again and again and again. And sometimes it can feel that we are perpetually Advent people, praying for God to come into our lives and into this world to establish his reign of peace. And that's hard to bear. It's hard because there's a part of us that knows what Emmanuel, what God with us is like, or what it should be. We know, not just in an existential sense, because God walked among us 2,000 years ago, but we know what God is like with us every Sunday when we have the body of Christ on the altar, when we have the body of Christ among us as his living body. And we know it at many points in our life, when we have felt God particularly close to us. Now, I've been here for quite some time today. Last night, the youth group had a lock-in at the church, and they camped out and had fun and games. And one of the highlights, though, was around midnight. We had a midnight mass right over here in the Lady Chapel. And we put around the chairs, and I had an icon. It's the Rublev icon, the Russian icon of the Trinity. And I laid that out and had candles all around it. And the entire church was pitch black. The only light was with those candles. And we had a meditation, and the youth were praying and observing this icon. And afterwards I asked, what was this like for them? And they said, I could feel God personally, right there in that meditation. I think many of us, most of us, if not all of us, have had some moment like that in our lives when we felt God. And because we know what God Emmanuel is like at those times, it makes it especially hard at all those other times when we feel, God, oh God, where are you? When we feel the absence of God. Advent, this season of yearning, is painful. But in the yearning, it draws us into the reality that we do have God with us. Just like you're not going to have the back pain and the small bladder, the cramps, without actually having a child causing that. We don't acutely miss God without actually embodying and carrying God with us at all times. This is the gift of Advent for me, and I hope it is for you as well. Those times when we look at the world and we look at ourselves and we see brokenness, it's a reminder that that pain, that jab in us, is drawing us to the fact that God is with us in this world, especially at these hard times. This is the gift of Advent. You know, we often say that Christians are Easter people, that we always, especially on Sunday, live into the resurrection. I would say that as much as we are Easter people, we are also Advent people. Always living into that craving, that yearning for God to be with us more and more and more. Pay attention to the pains. Pay attention to the yearning. Pay attention to the sleeplessness. Pay attention to those things that are moving you, because that is proof that God is present, pulling you, drawing you along. It's interesting, the Visitation ends with this beautiful song of Mary, the Magnificat. And it is so striking for me because of the tense. Here is Mary praying, and she's carrying her unborn child. She's carrying the Son of God, Jesus. And she's using the past tense. God has already shown the strength of his arm. God has already lifted up the lowly. God has already given food to the hungry and sent the rich away empty. She says this with utter faith, knowing that God is with her. My invitation to us this very last Sunday of Advent is to remember, going forward past Christmas, into Epiphany, into ordinary time in Lent and Easter, to carry the yearning with us, because we carry God with us. O come, Emmanuel, and O God, remind us always of your presence. Amen.
Amen. Together, let us stand and affirm our faith. We believe in God above us.